The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
First of October, the year 2013. Glad you're along tonight. George Feiler is with us the first Tuesday of each month. George, the Mutual UFO Network Eastern Director, and of course the Editor-in-Chief, the creator of the best worldwide weekly UFO newsletter, Feiler's Files. And you can get free subscription to that. Doesn't cost you a penny. All you have to do is ask. We'll tell you how to do that during this hour as well. Hello, Mr. George. How are you?
Fine, I'm fine. Beautiful day out here in New Jersey.
Lovely. Medford, New Jersey.
5 degrees.
How many degrees? How many?
80 degrees.
Gee, still summer.
Right. We're having like a second summer.
So call it Indian summer, I believe.
Something like that.
Yeah. So what's new, George?
Congress is all tied up.
No.
Can't seem to agree with each other.
How can you tell? I mean, this is ridiculous. Okay, I'm looking at Feiler's Files number 39. 39? 49, and then 52, and we start over again. Just amazing. You've got a very interesting... George always has special reports in his editions of Feiler's Files. This one is no exception. I mean, how often do you open a UFO newsletter and see a pile of OxyContin pills? Drugs.
Well, there's strange things going on in the world, and I try to bring people's attention to them.
I thought you were going to say you try to keep your stress levels down with OxyContin.
Okay. Well, I write. Keep my stress down by writing about all this stuff.
Well, you do. Now, you also have a fascinating picture of Tesla's Wardenclyffe Tower on Long Island. Which recently, I don't know if it's the front building there or another building. I think it's that front building that has been purchased and saved and will become an international Tesla museum, a tribute to the genius. Wouldn't it be great if they were to try to rebuild that tower behind it? That's quite a picture.
Well, it would be interesting to carry out some of these experiments.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Ray Energy is stated that he was able to develop that, that we would have electrical energy going through the ground and in the air, and that we could all receive it and have it free, or almost free. I'm sure there's some problems in equipment and so on.
Well, what they do, and the idea was, J.P. Morgan said, well, this is all very interesting, Mr. Tesla, but how are we going to put a meter on it? How are we going to charge
right.
people? And now they could do it with computers, but back then they didn't have computers. They could put a meter on everything that uses free that was going to be broadcast into the air, so to speak. And as much as you used your little computer on board, your free energy consumption, isn't it funny? Free energy consumption computer would rat you out and tell people how much free energy you use, and you'd have to pay for it. So it's
kind of like your cell phone, you know.
Same idea.
As much as you use, you pay for it.
Well, I don't know if I just opened the issue. Did you cover the fundraiser to save Wardenclyffe?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, yes. Just not long ago, there was a successful effort to save it. It was for sale, and a group of people got together and raised the money and bought it. And they are going to honor the greatest genius, probably of our times, without question in my mind, anyway.
You know that he personally claimed that he was from Venus? I don't know if you ever heard that.
No, I don't know that he said he was from Venus. I think he certainly claimed he had interaction with aliens. Contact, communication.
Right.
Venus, not too hospitable, but who knows? Maybe in a former life he was there. I don't know. I know he wasn't born there. He was born down here.
Right. But he certainly changed the world, brought electricity essentially to the world, and other inventions as well.
Did you see the documentary with Orson Welles playing J.P. Morgan about Tesla?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's online. You really must see it. It's quite well done. Low budget, excellent film, very well acted, and gives you a real sense of what he was like. Most people don't know much about Tesla at all. They don't know the pigeon story. They don't know a lot. They don't know a lot of things. They know much more about Thomas Alva Edison and his apple pie fetish. They may not even know about that.
I don't know why he got all the credit.
Well, it was
he
had the name. He was a marketer. He was a big promoter. So.
Right. And a lot of what Tesla did, in a sense, wasn't successful completely. Or at least, you know, made a lot of money. Apparently, he died not very wealthy.
Well, what he left behind was quickly scooped up by the United States government and has been, it is said, used for many things over the years. Here's, let's see if I can find this. Now, hold on a second. I'm going to read just a little bit. This is a very interesting little story, but it's a big story in a way because people realized what was there, and it was the building was apparently scheduled to be torn down. The Nikola Tesla Museum is now a reality for members of Tesla Science Center at Wardenclyffe. Since purchasing the Shoreham property on May 2nd, 18 years, 3 months, and 12 days since the organization formed with that as its goal. For years, we've been saying that we are pursuing the dream, said Jane Alcorn. The center's president said at a press conference at Manhattan's New Yorker Hotel on May 2nd, and while Tesla had a dream of building a world wireless center at Wardenclyffe, our dream has been to save Tesla's laboratory and create a science center and museum there reflecting the life and work of an extraordinary man. So they got it. Last August, the Tesla Center raised $1.37 million in an online crowdfunding campaign that went viral after the group partnered up with Matthew Inman, the creator of the oatmeal blog and comics website. Inman launched a campaign entitled Operation Let's Build a Goddamn Tesla Museum, and it garnered contributions from over 33,000 people from 108 different countries. So they did it, and that building will be saved and the grounds, and that's a wonderful tribute.
That is.
You can find it, just enter Wardenclyffe, that's C-L-Y-F-F-E, Wardenclyffe, property saved, and it's right there. I'll send you the link. Okay, so we have a lot of things, and I think I missed the first break because I'm talking too much. Okay, I missed the first break. So we can look at the first edition up there. I have the latest editions of Filer's Files, number 39, at the very top of headlines, and invite you to go there, week number 39. And nice variety of material in there. You have quite a mind. No, I didn't miss the break. Here it comes. All right. Hold on a second. We'll be right back with George Filer, and we'll talk more about what's up in the world of UFOs and Filer's Files next. Okay, back with Gentleman George, and we're looking at issue number 39. George, issue number 39, at the bottom of it, there are a lot of, well, looks like the pictures weren't put in. There's just a lot of text. So you might want to take a look at that. I don't know that it was on my end or not, but something is amiss, as they say. Or something is...
It's all right on my copy, but, you know...
Is it? Well, then it's our problem. We'll fix it.
You never know what happens.
Right.
We're sending out over 10,000.
12,000, isn't it?
Something like that.
Well, who's counting, right? 10,000, 12,000?
Right.
Yeah, well, good for you. That's quite a tribute to the work you've done.
We're getting a lot of reports, a couple thousand UFO reports a month. Now, they're... You know, through Peter Davenport and MUFON and other people in the business, so to speak. Too bad they don't come with a dollar a report or something. Any case, there's
nice.
A nice one from Australia. I don't know if you saw the cover, so to speak, the cover photograph from Perth, Australia on September 8th. But this fellow that takes the pictures is rather interesting in that he goes out with his camera, you know, with these new image cameras. You can take lots of images, and he takes something like 300, particularly when, and he zooms in on the clouds, particularly the clouds that are kind of, you might call them hazy, or the wind is taking him.
Okay.
Something about that makes the UFOs show up better or something. In any case, these high-altitude clouds that are kind of wispy, like he calls them. In any case, he has a very good Sony Cybershot camera, and he takes some 300 shots. But in any case, when he looks at them later in, you know, on the computer... He frequently finds UFOs. His name's Rod Hartland, and he's happy to, you know, let everybody know what he does.
Well, that's right at the top of issue number 39. It's the blue sky picture of the, because it looks like kind of a bronzy color disc. So, yeah,
but
they move.
So
isn't the,
he gets a nice picture.
Isn't the theory, George, still the same, that they move just a little too quickly for the eye to track, and most people don't look up into a bright sky anyhow?
Basically, yes, and they tend to be towards the radiation field. In other words, that your camera can see better than the human eye can see.
Mm-hmm.
And in any case, he has some nice pictures that at wispycloud.net, if anybody wants to look it up. But I think he's doing good work, and he's, you know, halfway around the world. And it's interesting that we're getting a lot of reports from all over the world, but, you know, South Africa and Australia and Argentina, almost any country you can think of, but more and more types of craft are coming in, and similar ones are seen in New Mexico and all over the country, really. And but in any case, with the newer cameras, for example, I just got a new camera that has something like 12 pixels in my camera phone. In other words, camera phones that people carry with them all the time have much better capability of taking photos. Consequently, we're getting in better ones all the time.
Well, they're almost, I guess, in some cases, as good as regular digital cameras, and they will be shortly if they're not. So,
right. So we encourage people to, they're bored, take a few pictures and see what they get. A lot of times you do have to put them in your computer to make it large enough so that you can see if the object is there or not.
Well,
but it is a coming field. I'm sure we're going to see more and more. And they also seem to be more willing to be photographed, as far as that goes.
They're not hiding out as much as they used to. They are kind of front and center. What is his website again? I don't see it under wispyclouds.net. Unless I'm misspelling Wispy Clouds.
What I have, I could be mistaken.
Spell Wispy Clouds.
W-I-S-P-Y.
Okay, let's try it again. Wispy Clouds. Not yet. There we go. Okay, we got it.
But he just shows you one fellow. He happens to be a teacher, but is well-educated and is interested in the subject and gets out there and, you know, shoots on a regular basis way over in Western Australia and on a regular basis comes up with some very nice photographs. And I think that almost anyone with a reasonably nice camera can do the same. He does have 20 megapixel, which is, you know, pretty important, but
these are very interesting pictures.
Lights all the time.
Yeah, the pictures, I don't know why, but most of the objects, the discs in the pictures, have a bronzy kind of a hue to them, not silver. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah,
I'm just scrolling down the page.
Was it?
Yeah, there's a lot. A lot of things up there. Well, good for him.
Oh, wait. Also talked about, one of the articles is about the Giesse power plant. You probably talked about that before. But
I've had Chris Dunn on many times, and this is a very important subject, and I'm really glad you put that in there. Chris deserves all the accolades and acknowledgement he can get. That's great. Yeah, the book is called The Giesse Power Plant.
Right, putting it on from the standpoint that people... Well, one, they're finding more and more pyramids all over the world when they start looking for them, like 150 in China and so on. And in Bosnia, they found 5, et cetera. And these pyramids are thought to be, you know, thousands of years old and as many as 8 or 10,000 years old, maybe even older. And some of them are still producing electricity over thousands of years. For example, they pick up 640 cycles per second in the King's Chamber in the Great Pyramid, which, by the way, I've been inside.
Well, king that you are, I would expect that. Did you lay down in that box, which is not a...
No, I didn't lay down.
It's not a sarcophagus. I knew someone who slept in it overnight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it's certainly worth seeing, although I wouldn't go to Egypt at this time. But
you went in there.
Right. I'm afraid there's going to be serious trouble in Egypt.
Jeez, there already has been. Yeah.
Few years. Well, yeah. There already has been. I think it's going to continue. But the pyramids are very significant because of the age, and they're like a huge building in one of your cities. Well, how does, theoretically, our cavemen build those? Well, we're told that cavemen, you know, are 4,000 to 5,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that we're much further advanced. These objects create power and electricity and so on,
mm-hmm.
and are wonderful structures if you see them up close. You know, you can't even put your Visa card in between one of the stones.
I know,
the point
amazing.
Is that why were they built and who used them? Well, the logical thing is either there was an ancient civilization or there was ancient aliens there to do this.
Correct.
And I think it's one of those likely proofs and evidence that we have been visited.
Right. Very good. Okay, thank you. Hold on a second. We'll come right back with George in just a couple minutes. Okay, I'm back with George Filer. It looks like, George, if you scroll down on issue number 39, some of the text has been left on there without pictures in it. I think there's a duplication of the text is what it is. Anyway, take a look. No hurry.
Okay.
Now, let's look at anything else in 39 you want to look at?
Well, I thought we should kind of warn people about painkillers that... I've had friends who have been taking painkillers, and it's a very dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be, if you do take a painkiller, you have to control it very closely because, frankly, a lot of people are dying. I've seen different figures, but they claim that more people die from painkillers given by doctors than are killed in automobile accidents. That's according to the...
Well, that's 40,000 a year in car accidents, right. So that's a lot of people.
In L.A. newspaper, that the figures are rather astounding. And I don't know if that's correct, but in any case, it's a very large number of drug deaths that is going on. And they're essentially being fed to the public. And so if you're taking them, you should be very wary of them and take only the amount that you need, et cetera.
Right.
And
very
and
nice of
be
you
aware
to
that
do this.
Particularly combined with alcohol and other things, they can basically can kill you.
Yep.
It's that simple.
Yes.
And people don't realize that there's that much danger there. That's why I think you mentioned OxyContin and Viosodin and various
Vicodin,
drugs that people
Vicodin,
are taking.
Yeah.
Vicodin, yeah. Are very, can cause, you know, you have severe pain and you want to overcome it, but at the same time you want to live.
Well, there's always that, isn't there? That's a good benefit.
You know, one person said if they had a commercial airliner crashed every day,
mm-hmm.
filled with people every day.
Wow.
That there's more people killed by drugs And these are legal drugs than they are with... it sounds funny, but it's in a way it's safer to take illegal drugs than legal drugs.
Well, that's true. More people die of legally prescribed drugs than illegal drug overdoses.
That, for example, marijuana, even on the government site, says that there's no record of anybody dying from just taking marijuana.
Marijuana is not a drug per se, not to the extent that we're talking about opiates and heavy duty barbiturates or any of that. It's a plant. But yes, you're right. This is a nice thing to include, just a reminder for people to be careful. A lot of people mix all kinds of medications together without any idea at all of consequences of interaction of any of that.
Well, that's not what happened to my daughters, but I'm very aware of what's going on in hospitals and things that... And particularly now with Obamacare and everything, that you're really going to have to watch yourself and your medical care and so on.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely right.
And a lot of people will have a vitamin D3 deficiency, particularly, we'll say, north of 30 degrees latitude. Mm-hmm. As the winter goes on, our body doesn't produce the D3 that it normally does, and you end up with a deficiency, which in turn can cause lots of various problems in your body. So, and I think you advertise a lot of good products that I, you know, listen to, that I feel that people should be aware of. And look at some of these alternate medical ways of treating yourself. Frankly, I take a lot of vitamins and things. I think they're important.
They're crucial. You can't really make it anymore unless you take proper and adequate supplements, because the food is so empty and or toxified with herbicides, pesticides, not even to mention the GMO issue. So supplements are crucial.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's quite a few of my subscribers are veterinarians, and they tell me, you know, frequently the first thing they do is check the animal that's sick for all the vitamins, mm-hmm. amino acids, and so on. And frequently, you know, it's a matter of a vitamin or will be right. not in the person's or the body of the animal, and they just give a, you know, 25-cent vitamin or something, and the animal's cured. And I think a lot of people are in that same situation.
I couldn't agree more. And pet foods, in many cases, are very toxic, very unpleasant to the animal, and they result in early death and very serious illness. Well, it's the same for people. The average American diet is a catastrophe.
And they just had a program where they had breast cancer, and the people in China, at least the you know, people who work in the farms and stuff, had never heard of anybody having breast cancer because their diet is completely different. In many ways, it's, you know, better food, rice and so on, mm-hmm. very little meat, and they're relatively strong, and of course they had a lot of exercise, etc. But it's kind of interesting that we're supposedly the greatest country in the world, and a lot of our food and everything is not that good.
Correct. Yeah. Okay, next up. Oh, go ahead, George. Please.
Oh, I was going to mention our X-37 spaceship is up.
That's what I was going to mention. Yeah. Now, okay. That looks like a shuttle with a fatter body and little stubby wings in many cases. And it's... Do you have any idea what's going on? You have good sources. The X-37 spaceship is up there for another long period of time. What are they using it for? And interestingly enough, it's partly a Navy project. The Navy is very heavily invested in space. What's the... we've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the X-37 super secret spaceship. that goes up and orbits the Earth for a long period of time, then flies back down. Be right back. Back with George. Now we're talking about issue number 39, the X-37 spaceship. X-37B first flew in April of 2010. Tell us what this X-37 is. It's an interesting object for sure.
It looks a little bit like the shuttle.
There's
a picture there. Short wings and two large tails, but it's not manned. And it goes up, and I would assume acts pretty much like a satellite. Now, we don't know if it's armed or not. At least the Air Force, frankly, doesn't tell what it does up there, but we can assume that it's accomplishing reconnaissance. Now, one interesting thing is that Bill Sweetman, who's one of the great researchers, says that A craft like this could go up to a satellite and spray it with the kind of a material that would block out the sun, so to speak, and make it malfunction. And our satellite, our X-37, was launched in March of 2010, and it was when it was launched, they said it would be up for 9 months and come back. Well, which would bring it to November of 2011. And at that time, the Soviets launched a probe to go to Mars called the Phobos Grunt. Now, I don't know if people are aware of this, but the last time the Russians had spaceships on Mars, they claim that it was destroyed by a UFO, probably Martian, and also claim that there was cities underground on Mars. In other words, they're making a lot of statements to the effect that there's life on Mars. Now, our craft was supposed to land in November, but here the Soviet craft is been launched, and it's going around the Earth, ready to go to Mars. And it failed. And it's interesting, the Russian Space Agency blamed the United States for the failure of their Phobos Grunt probe to Mars. So we could say, well, maybe that's a false statement, maybe it's a true statement, we don't know. But I thought it was interesting that our craft decided to stay up for a year rather than 9 months in order to be up at the same time that the Soviet craft was up. In other words, things happen that you wonder what's going on, frankly. And I think people should be aware of that.
Well, it's our money.
Right. And are we... If you listen to the Chinese and the Soviets, they blame us for lots of things. Now, you know, are we, in fact, blameless? I don't know. And, you know, our government tries to protect us from knowing a lot of information and protecting us from all enemies, so to speak. So there may even be another reason that they did that. Part of this is our space has supposedly shut down, and that they're building a better and newer one to track the satellites and the, you know, small pieces of debris that are in space.
Well, it's interesting that it would sneak up on another satellite and spray it with silly string or something to mess it up, but it could do that.
I'm just saying it's possible.
I wonder how much fuel it has. I wonder how maneuverable it is. I wonder a lot of things about it. Obviously, it's something that is serving a very important function for some people, and I wonder if there are others up there. We may not know about them. Could be.
Well, there's lots of reports along those lines that we have a number of craft up in space that are protecting us. Now, one of the areas that they're allegedly protecting us from is the possibility that asteroids may come through and present a danger to Earth. There was one in, I don't know if the right word is crashed, but came to Earth in the Soviet Union not long ago. And there's a chance that some of these asteroids can slip through because many of them are not that large and have difficulty picking them up. And they may only see them, at the last moment. And we may have the capability of destroying them or breaking them apart. Once they're broke apart into small pieces, they're less dangerous and less likely to cause damage on Earth. So there's probably some kind of planetary defense going on. And then you could make that step one further and say, well, maybe they're defending also against other craft coming in here from space. All of this kind of ties together. I can't say that it's strong evidence. It's just a possibility. The risk of asteroids seems to be growing as we're going through a denser part of the sky where there's more likely to be asteroids, meteorites, and so on. And there's a lot of concern about these new comets and so on that they're discussing and finding.
There are supposedly more meteors and meteorites coming in now because of comets. That's what I picked up earlier today. They're dragging them around or creating some gravitational pull on them and nudging them toward our atmosphere in some cases, even though they're a long way away. Somebody was trying to tie the two together.
Yes, I've seen a number of articles along those lines. And if you look at this, the solar system, it's kind of like a plate. And every so often, in other words, it's fairly long and circular like a plate, but we're going through an area where there's apparently a lot of danger right now. And I think, you know, they don't want to get the public upset about it, but I think there is a certain amount of danger there. But hopefully we have some capability again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's indications there's, you know, new weapons all the time that have greater capability. There's been movies written about it, you know, shown on about the danger. And I think we should be aware that through thousands of years in the past, the Earth has been hit on a regular basis by almost, you know, life threatening asteroids and so on. Yeah, the big ones obviously do a tremendous amount of damage. Just one going in the ocean could cause, you know, a huge tsunami and bring it over to the coast and cause, you know, massive death. hopefully they would be able to pick those up before it happens, but I'm not sure there's that good of equipment looking out into space, at least deep enough into space.
If we had to deal with an asteroid, George, how do you think that, you know, there's been more talk recently about using a nuclear weapon to try to intercept and at least deflect, what do you think would happen? Would that be the choice? And if so, how would they do it?
Well, I think there may be better weapons. Lasers and other scalar weapons and so on that may be effective. And I don't know if, I hope somebody's thinking about that. they say that deflection may be better than, blowing it apart, so to speak, if you can get it further enough out, that a deflection would keep it away from Earth. And I just saw an article yesterday that one just came by, comparatively close, and apparently nobody saw it until it essentially went by us. And it was about the size of a car, but obviously if it had a city, it could do a tremendous amount of damage.
Well, you can do a lot more than it could ruin our whole day. I mean,
right.
I mean,
depends where it hits,
That's right. Well, we're overdue. And I don't know if you've analyzed the footage of the Chelyabinsk meteorite. That was a very large object, and it was clearly intercepted and broken into pieces. It was cored. Something went right through it that looked like a pencil. You can see that in the videos, clear as day. And it would suggest that the Russians have some very advanced technology. It wasn't a missile that hit it. It was something else. It went right through it, didn't change shape, and just broke this thing into pieces. Did you see that video?
No, I have. I've seen some of the video of, it coming in.
Oh, my. I'll send you a link. It was intercepted. Something went right through it. Very high velocity. Very quick.
I know it broke apart. I didn't know that was the reason. One thing I bring up also is that there's, despite what you hear on the news, the world's temperature hasn't risen for 15 years, and the Antarctic sea ice is setting record ice extent.
So is the Arctic in places. It's all a lie, George. Global warming is a hustle. The IPCC is a joke, and I've been covering this from the beginning. We may be headed toward a mini ice age, if anything. So global warming is not true.
I can remember 30 years ago, they had said we were going into an ice age, and then they said now we're going into this warm setting records, but the numbers don't show it recently.
Well, I agree.
So okay, there's record ice in Antarctic.
Right. We're out of time, George. I don't know if you can hear me all right or not, but we are running late. So a final quick comment, sir?
Well, just keep looking up, and glad to send you the Filer's Files. Just write me at majorstar@verizon.net.
Right. MAJORSTAR @verizon.net, and ask for your subscription. You'll get it sent to you free every week. Thanks, George. Keep up the wonderful work. It's truly appreciated by people you'll never hear about. There are a lot of them out there.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, be well.
Have a nice fall.
Thank you, George. You too. All righty. Okay, that's hour number one. Yeah, we will take a break and come right back. And we have a very interesting hour number two and three for you tonight, so don't go away.